Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Skate park, which is they did a wonderful job with it. When does it close?
So right now our park hours are dawn to dusk. What we're having to manage is the security. There are lights there because to have security, you know, be able to keep, same way you keep shop lights on after you're already closed, so you can see in. That also is encouraged in all of our early enthusiasm about the skate park for people to be skating there, which we're certainly aware of that. And so we're trying to manage those two things. And
this is, of course, City Council Chair President Delarian Wiggins yesterday talking with Mayor D.C. Reeves about the skate park and the basic conundrum we now have, which is, on the one hand, the park is supposed to close at dusk. On the other hand, skaters want to keep using it after dusk. And there are lights. So, you know, what's your solution? Well, if you leave the lights on, people are going to think the park is open no matter what the signs say, and they're going to use it. If you turn the lights off, people are still going to use it, and there will be a higher likelihood of them doing inappropriate things in the dark, and you don't want that. So you solve this problem.
Like we do with everything. You know, we've got a day-use marina that's opening that we've had a lot of meetings about. Same idea. We know that it's going to take us a little time to make sure that we get management, make the right decisions on how we want to be able to manage it. Okay. We don't think that turning the lights off is necessarily the safest thing for us to do. So right now we think we're taking the lesser issue, which is it is open later. I mean, people are using it later. It's not open, but it's using it later because there are lights, but we are trying to manage that. So.
And look, I feel pretty confident in saying this, that we're not the first city to encounter this challenge. You know, Gulf Breeze has a skate park. And if I remember correctly, it's enclosed by all chain link, so I think they probably just lock it. Milton has a skate park. I cannot remember if that one is enclosed by chain link or not. I just don't recall. Other places that have skate parks all around the country have certainly considered this, and that's part of the challenge is, can you even lock it up? The mayor says, you know, we decided not to fence it in the beginning, and I understand that. Chain link fence around a facility like this is ugly. You know, would people scale the fence anyway? What are you going to do, put barbed wire? I mean, like, you know, you start to go through those things. Now, granted, you know, chain linked and locked is a little bit different than just, you know, wide open with the lights on, because it certainly looks to a passerby as though it's available for use.
I got a few complaints. One is people are parking all over the roads, different sides of the roads.
That's true.
Got reports of some drug use being utilized at the parks.
Which is sad, but not particularly surprising, right?
I went by there Saturday night intentionally. It was almost midnight, and you had about 60-plus people still congregating at the park. So I think if we're going to send a clear message, we need to do it early instead of waiting until, you know, months down the road to where we're not enforcing it. So I would like to see if the park hours are from sunset to dusk, and we need to enforce that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need to basically decide whether you're going to have that enforcement or not. You know, what is the park's rules, operating rules going to be? That 60 or so, when I drove by Saturday midday, that was my estimate, maybe 100 people were there. Also, by the way, bikes were there. I didn't see them being used in the skate park per se, but there were bikes all over the area. It could have been you bike there to skate there, right? But, you know, figuring out the BMX interaction, that's been something people have asked me about a lot. I think it's the insurance is the issue. I think that's what Mayor Reeves had told us before, that it's the insurance is part of the problem there. But, again, other facilities, they figure out how to have BMX coexist somehow, either, you know, joint use or, you know, different times they would do that. Milton, I know, has gone through this, although Milton does now have the BMX track where, you know, but it's not the same. You know, they're very different. You know, what you do running around the track is different than what you do in and out of bowls and up and down, you know, half pipes and that kind of stuff. But, you know, again, that decision about not fencing it in was one of the things they made early on. And now the question is, well, okay, so what do we do? We don't have a fence. how do we police this? Do we hire security guards? Do we try to work with John Schell and work through his people and try to get some kind of a self-policing voluntary? Because I'm sure the skaters would much rather have, you know, agreement amongst themselves to take care of this issue rather than having to be policed by some kind of security force of any kind. They wouldn't like that. But then again, how do they police it if the rule is you're not supposed to be at the park? Who's going to be responsible for making sure people aren't at the park? That's kind of a weird one to enforce by not being there. So, again, this is not a novel problem. I'm sure other municipalities run into this, and maybe the question is just, you know, what question do we need to ask? For my part, if I were on city council, and I am not, but if I were on city council, I don't see the harm in just keeping it open. You know, maybe you cut it off at midnight. You still have the issue of what do you do at midnight? You know, do you turn off the lights at midnight? Do you turn them down? Do you make them red? I mean, I don't know. To my mind, I don't see a problem in kids skating there at night, other than maybe noise, in which case you'd have to kind of wait and see whether it's noisy or not. But I would rather just let them use it if they're going to use it, because that's why we built the thing. 716 on News Radio 92.3. Your thoughts, 437-1620. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And watching a couple of accidents now. They certainly do spring up at 7 o'clock hour. There's another one. Longleaf Drive and Community Drive in Pensacola showing a possible roadblock this morning. Use caution there, certainly. Highway 98, that's Gulf Breeze Parkway, and Tiger Park Lane showing an accident with no roadblock. And again, Gulf Beach Highway and Sorrento Road now showing a hit-and-run crash. The only place that we are showing a roadblock, again, Longleaf and Community Drive. Caution there, caution wherever you are, 437-1620. You can always text in if you see an accident or slowdown. This is brought to you by Christina Leavenworth and the Leavenworth team. If you're thinking about selling your home, don't waste another day. Contact Christina Leavenworth and the Leavenworth team today. Christina Leavenworth at LeavenRinkyRealty.com. And she was so great yesterday on Pep Talk. It's always so good to see her. Traffic tip, 437-1620. If you have them in News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. You got a text in here, 437-1620. Somebody says, are you saying the council didn't think ahead and anticipate this problem? I don't know where the audience gets this like snarkiness. It's so weird. Like, it's not modeled by us.
I'm afraid of your audience. Yeah. And it's not us. It's, oh, it's you. I just do traffic and push buttons.
Somebody else says, staff the skate park, hello, and it's right next to the police station. You know, of course, the challenge there is you're trying to staff it to make it not operate, right? Like, if that's the goal, is to have them not skating, you're putting a person there paid to make sure no other people are there. The same person texted, a ton of people are super excited to use it. Don't kill that spirit with politics. Agreed. You know, agreed. Somebody here says, agree, close it at midnight, and parking tickets are great. Those kids don't have $25 to waste on a ticket. I'm not sure. Yeah, well, there's a lot of cars. There are a lot of cars in that area.
Where are they parking?
Everywhere. If you look at the block right around it, the whole block is covered in cars. And I know PPD had put out a thing, I think they put out a thing, that they don't want people parking right near the exit from PPD because it's hard for them to see and
right
get
off
out.
Main Street, sure.
Yeah, so that's one issue. Somebody here says, I completely agree with you. I can certainly think of worse things for skaters to be doing if they get run off of the skate park built for skating. Let them have it. You know, right, which is, again, the idea is if they're not out on the streets, so to speak, you know, these streets, then they're at the skate park, which is where you want them. Right, that's kind of part of the point.
As long as you don't have Jay and Silent Bob there selling drugs, I think it's fine.
Right, exactly. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody here says, say the skate park closes at dusk, knowing they'll sneak in, but if they think they're breaking the rules, they'll be really quiet. Don't ask, don't tell. I love That's the answer, yeah. The answer. Tell them they can't do it, and tell them that there's, you know, we're going to get on them if they do it, and then let them do it, and then don't enforce it. I was also thinking, and this is just because my brain thought of this idea, is what if we had some kind of, you know, my first thought was, you'll laugh, my first thought was, well, how can you make them not want to skate in the park after dark? And I had a dumb idea at first, which was throw a bunch of pool inflatables into the half pipe or into the bowl, you know, like make it kind of unusable. I'm like, well, that wouldn't work. Well, what about bollards? You know, the kind of things that you can install that get in the way. Of course, then I'm like, well, skaters just make that into an amusement. That just becomes part of the fun.
They cut ollies on them.
Nice. That's a deep cutback. I like that.
That's a throwback.
Oh, somebody here says, have security boot their skateboards if they break the rules. Skateboard boots. That's funny. I love
little
it.
Tiny yellow
little
ones.
Little tiny yellow ones.
Oh, you know, man, raspberries. Yeah.
That's right. But it's so heavy you can't lift the skateboard, you know? Again, I don't know where y'all get this from, but monitors with the cameras, sure, yeah, I'm certainly imagine. And I don't know that, I think there are cameras already. I could be wrong about that. I don't know. That would seem to make sense to me as kind of an obvious thing. There ought to be cameras. Anyway, so we'll talk with the mayor about this tomorrow and see if we can't come to some kind of consensus. Again, this is not a novel problem. I'm sure they'll come up with a solution that makes sense. I have faith. Maybe you laugh at me, but I do. Hey, when I talk about a BMW, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, Lexus, nice import vehicles, you pay extra to get them. You don't have to pay extra to service them. You don't have to take them to the dealership. You don't have to pass over the bridge and take the time and the money and pay the extra. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on these cars all the time. They also work on your domestics. They work on your daily runaround. Whatever you've got, they work on it, okay? It's not just imports, by the way. If you've got a truck that's like a diesel and it works great, great. And if it doesn't work great, well, you know, where do you go? Well, again, you don't have to go to the dealership. You can take it to Bobby Likas. They're a little different, but they work on those too. The philosophy is to prevent the big stuff by taking care of the small stuff when it's small, right? That saves you money and time. CarClinicService.com, because of that philosophy, like it's a healthcare clinic for your car. Carfax ranked them a top-rated service center in 2021, a 4.5 average reviews for the customers or above. So whatever your car care needs, Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you feeling strong? Isaiah 40:29 indicates that God only gives strength to those that know they're weak. Muhammad Ali, the famous boxing champion, was about to fly on a commercial airplane when the stewardess asked all the passengers to be seated and buckle their seatbelts. Ali said to the stewardess, "Don't you know who I am?" He went on to say, "I'm Superman, and Superman doesn't need a seatbelt." The stewardess replied, "Well, Superman doesn't need a plane either. Now sit down and buckle up." The application for you and me is that we're not as strong as we think we are. I encourage you to recognize your weakness and call upon God humbly to ask Him for a fresh dose of His lasting strength.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel, but no pets or glass, and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, Grits and Greens takes the stage. A powerful four-piece band best described as rock and roll with a soulful and jam-heavy delivery. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
A-R-G-O-S, Argos! Go Argos!
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. Since 1969, the University of West Florida has offered graduate programs to provide expanded education and training for professionals in Northwest Florida. Join Melissa Webb and Sabrina Capps on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss their graduate school at UWF and the resources provided to prospective students. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hello, kick-kick-kickens, pip-pip-pips.
I can see.
I feel like this is the perfect song for promoting the listener line. Text us at 437-1620. Oh, man. When you hear this song, do you immediately picture the album with the red, the blue, the yellow,
Absolutely,
dancers on the front? Yeah, of course you do. Because you and I are the same age, except that you're 29 and I'm 52.
It defeats the purpose when you say that.
I know. I shouldn't lie about my age like that.
Thank you.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
He's older than me.
Well, here's a shocking headline from my neck of the woods in Iowa. 125 athletes and athletic staff members from the University of Iowa and Iowa State University now involved in a sports gambling investigation. The University of Iowa says 26 athletes from baseball, football, wrestling, basketball, and men's track teams are involved in. Iowa State says 15 athletes from their football, track, and wrestling teams are also involved.
Okay, so Can I be the naive one in the room and ask this question?
Yes.
Track? Gambling on track? That's a thing?
How hard is it to go faster or slower, dude?
I just baseball, football, basketball, the sports.
Yeah, it's
track. Somebody that wants to be the best at exercising.
Can you bet on track?
Well, you can bet on about
anything. I know you can bet on anything. You know, people in the stands, 50 on here. Yeah, okay, I get that. But, organized betting, at a site? Can you bet on the 400-meter hurdles?
Well, I've never tried.
Okay, right, fair enough. Go ahead, David.
The nation's largest industry event for independent beer makers going on in Nashville. The Craft Brewers Conference happening. Company operators there learning from others in the world of craft beer. That conference wraps up with the World Beer Cup Awards this week.
You say it's in Nashville?
In Nashville.
Six hours. Here we go.
I'm surprised. I've never heard of the World Beer Cup Awards before.
I'm surprised I'm on the air. Go ahead, David.
The White House now threatening to veto a House Republican bill that's aimed at cracking down on the flow of migrants at the border. And the National Border Patrol Council Vice President Art Del Cueto says that some action needs to be taken because the current situation isn't sustainable.
This administration has created that magnet for just anyone to come across, ask for asylum, and they get OR'd, so they get released in the United States. And that's part of the problem. You know, you have people coming across with no consequences for it.
And the Biden administration says that the Secure the Border Act introduced last week would cut off access to humanitarian protections for migrants and make processing less efficient.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Oh, we got a really good text in here, by the way. Somebody said, apparently, I don't know this, but said Atlanta started keeping their gyms open until 12 to keep kids off the streets. Just an interesting thought, again, with the skate park comments. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
We are watching a few accidents this morning. There's one at Longleaf and Community Drive. That's a vehicle crash with injuries, and it is showing a roadblock. I'm not sure which direction I'm going to get on that. And certainly, if you know, text it in. Gulf Beach Highway, Serena Road, showing an accident but not a roadblock. And Highway 98, Tiger Park Lane, showing an accident without a roadblock. 437-1620 if you have those traffic tips at Snooze Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Did you say Snooze Radio?
Snooze Radio. Not today. No. Did I really? Snooze.
It's Snooze Radio.
It is. It is Snooze Radio. It's not. I've worked at other stations. I've told Andrew this before. Where I'm not going to use the phrase I use to,
No, it's funny. My brain has been trained to hear everything wrong, and so I can't unhear it once I've heard it.
I was looking at the gambling probe where you can bet on track.
Yesterday we got news from Sheriff Simmons that they had a fairly serious incident where a guy was holding a woman hostage with a knife and in a tent at a warrant service that they had gotten to. And
all this time he held a woman against her will inside a tent that's on that property. He also, during this time, made two phone calls or texts to people that he knows, acquaintances, and said that he has a gun. And he said that he's going to shoot it out with deputies on both of those emails and both of those texts. So we had this information. We knew he was a dangerous felon. We knew he was wanted, not just in Escambia County, but also in Alabama. We had the perimeter. We knew he was holding a woman against his will. Our fear was that he was eventually going to try to get into his car, which was parked outside of his tent.
Yeah, so... So they've got 58 priors on this guy, many, many convictions for lower offenses, but, you know, very serious, concerning thing. You had John Molchan talking to Channel 3 last night about him being a super career criminal.
It's shocking to me that you can have somebody who engages in this kind of behavior, and he's just all he knows how to do is commit crime. His sole contribution to society has been the commission of crimes.
And so basically, if you watch, he showed a drone video of the incident, and you had a couple of sheriff's vehicles, and behind the one main vehicle, you had all the SWAT members gathered at two corners of that vehicle watching this all unfold. And he comes out of the tent with the woman, and he's wrestling with her, and he's got a knife to her. So it's pretty scary. And you're worried, of course, that even if you can get a clean shot, what might he do in the process of dying, right? And he's trying to get into this car, and they basically attack the car with the other vehicle to prevent it from, lift it up to prevent it from being able to leave. And then one of the SWAT guys goes around the other side, and from the passenger side, you can see on the video, shoots into the car one time. That kills him. But
at this point, I will tell you this. The suspect was shot and killed, and the hostage was injured. The hostage is right now recovering in a local hospital. I can tell you at this point, it is possible that the bullet that was fired went through the hostage taker and may have struck the hostage during their active struggle.
So that's a possibility, an unknown. FDLE is going to be doing the investigation. We're going to have the sheriff on here in about 10 minutes, but I don't know how much of this he's going to be able to talk about is why I'm sharing these clips now, because as he said yesterday, they may not talk anymore about this because of the ongoing investigation by FDLE. Standard protocol is to, you know, give us what information they can up front and then let the process work its way forward. But basically, look.
He was wanted for the crimes that he committed. He had over 50 felony convictions. He threatened our deputies. He threatened the bondsmen. He held a knife to the throat of a hostage, and he tried to get away. If you try to do these things, you're not long for this world, quite honestly.
So we'll talk about this as much as we can coming up after the news.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden meets with congressional leaders, including House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, this afternoon about raising the nation's debt ceiling to avoid default.
Most Senate Republicans are now in lockstep with McCarthy and his bill to hike the debt ceiling and shave spending. More than 40 Senate Republicans vow to filibuster President Biden's clean debt ceiling demand.
Fox's Chad Pergram. The Homeland Security Department announces a targeted immigration enforcement operation today in El Paso, Texas.
That's where 2,200 migrants are camped or living on the streets, not far from major ports of entry connected to the Mexican city of Juarez. They plan to deport or expel migrants who came across the border illegally and detain those who pose a national security or public safety threat.
That's Fox's Sue Guzman. A Border Patrol union statement says the announcement of this operation ahead of time gives migrants a chance to run and hide. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, cloudy skies. It is 73 degrees here in Pensacola. One of the three funeral home directors that recently wrote a letter to Escambia County citing concerns with the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office says now he regrets writing that letter after the media circus it caused.
First of all, this was an effort to address the situation with the medical examiner's office. But apparently by writing these letters to the county commissioner and the blog that was put out, that was not the intentions. That didn't accomplish anything at all for me or Dr. Alexi.
And that is Rick Haley there from the Waters and Hibbert Funeral Home, and he and three other funeral home directors met with Escambia County Commissioner Stephen Berry at a local restaurant where they discussed their issues with the medical examiner's office and were asked to write letters to the Escambia County Board of Commissioners. At the time, he said he believed it would help to open a line of communication with the medical examiner's office, but the allegations were posted online. Haley says since those allegations were made public, the medical examiner's office has reached out and addressed his concerns. A man wanted for the attempted murder of his girlfriend last year was arrested nearby in Walton County. 37-year-old Jesse Suggs was arrested in Dofuniak Springs by a U.S. Marshals task force, along with local police from several area departments. Suggs accused of nearly beating his girlfriend to death in Tennessee and then threatening her and her daughter's life if she went to the police about it. Authorities in Tennessee have been looking for Suggs since April of last year. A woman arrested after a road rage incident on Highway 90 in East Milton last week. Escambia County Chief Deputy Shane Tucker says the victim was at a stoplight when a woman pulled up next to him and pointed a handgun at him. The man was able to get a good description of the weapon.
We were able to locate the suspect a short while later, and she had in her possession a handgun that matched that description. So she was charged with aggravated assault. You know, this is precisely the kind of stuff that is not consistent with responsible gun ownership, and I think this is kind of a timely conversation. What with the constitutional carry law that's on the way.
And Tucker says it's important to know that guns are for self-defense, not traffic disputes. That woman was charged with aggravated battery. President Biden meeting with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and other congressional leaders today to try to resolve the debt ceiling standoff. Florida Senator Rick Scott says, well, the government needs to stop spending more than they take in.
We've got to raise the debt limit in a manner that's responsible. We can't continue to grow our debt. We can't continue to run massive deficits. It's causing inflation.
And he says Congress needs to pass legislation to raise the borrowing limit by early June to avoid a default. Three bills targeting China and six other countries signed yesterday by Governor DeSantis. One of those bills banning TikTok on state-owned computers and networks.
There's
cyber attack attempts all the time that you're having to fight back. So you see, but what this is doing is it's blocking access to dangerous applications like TikTok on all government and education institutions, servers, and devices.
And DeSantis also signed two other bills yesterday, one banning the sale of farmland or property near military bases in the state, the third bill prohibiting colleges and universities from entering into partnerships with China, Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Russia, Syria, or Venezuela. 735 at News Radio 92.3. And Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
Longleaf and Community Drive. Slow and go and stop and go. It's in front of Longleaf Elementary near Pine Forest and George Stone. East Bay Boulevard and Navarre closed just south of Koppel Drive, part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. And taking a look around the rest of the area, we do have an accident, it looks like, on the west side. Gulf Beach Highway and Sorrento Road, but I'm not showing a roadblock there. And then Gulf Breeze Parkway, that's Highway 98, in Tiger Park Lane, right near the turnoff for Avalon, showing an accident, but I'm not showing a roadblock. Caution wherever you are. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be another warm and humid day today. We will have an isolated chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Rain chance will slowly come to an end as we go into the evening hours. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying warm in the 70s. As you go into your Wednesday, we will have a very similar forecast. Showers and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon. Very warm and humid with highs in the low to mid 80s. Overnight on Wednesday, we will have temperatures drop back in the low 70s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 73, mostly cloudy in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, and 71 in Milton. Your next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. Some users of Buy Now, Pay Later apps might face something new when they try to use the payment method, rejection. Higher interest rates and recession concerns are challenging the business model behind services such as Affirm, Klarna, and Sezzle, which say they are tightening credit standards to focus on making a profit rather than growth. Some customers say they have been caught off guard by unexpected denials or lower spending limits when they try to make purchases. Meat prices are losing their sizzle as commodity and labor costs are rising, and a double whammy for meat packers. Shares of Tyson Foods tumbled 16% yesterday after the company cut its sales forecast on declining demand for pork and beef and said its costs are rising. Tyson's average prices fell 10% for pork and 5% for beef. Elon Musk, the head of Twitter, says the site will purge accounts that have no activity at all for several years. Futures are lower. That's Your Money Now.
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa is here to help take the pressure off of you finding the perfect Mother's Day gift this year. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you with the gift of renewal and relaxation. Stillwater's offers a variety of spa treatments, including facials, massages, and more. Mother's Day gift certificates can be purchased online at stillwatersmedspa.com or in person at the spa located in downtown Pensacola. Stillwater's Medical Spa, Pensacola's world-class luxury spa.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in this Friday morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm good. It's always good to have you. Well, we got a lot of stories to get to. Let's start with the sort of the highest profile one, which is yesterday you had a press conference in which you talked about this warrant service on a 58 times former felon who was holding a knife to a woman's throat, I guess, or at least to her somehow, in a tent. And you guys showed up with the SWAT vehicles and the Bearcat and the Rook, I think you call it, is the other one.
Yeah.
I know there's some degree of which you can't talk about all this, but what can you tell us about this response from your SWAT team?
Well, I think you got to go back a little bit. We had a couple of bail bondsmen because this individual—
From Alabama, right?
From Alabama, Bayonetta, okay. I believe. They were wanting this guy. They located him using their own informants, and they located him. They're living on a tent, in a rather large tent, but they, even though they had a car, living in a tent, and that was at Helton Street. And so they tried to go pick him up, because bondsmen, as bondsmen do, and they said he pulled a gun on them. They called us. Our deputies get there, and again, it's dark. It's kind of a secluded area. And our deputies say he appears to have pulled a weapon on them, so they set up a perimeter. And then they call out the SWAT team. So we're thinking this thing lasts about 2 hours for the patrol deputies and 3 more hours, or 3 hours and 2 hours for the SWAT and deputy combination. So for 5 hours, we're trying to get this guy to give up. At this point, we've identified him. He had warrants from Alabama. He has warrants from Escambia County. He was flagged as this violent offender. Two times he has pulled what he, at least wanted us to believe was a weapon. So our SWAT team gets there, and then during the conversations that we have with him, we also learned that that some people have – he has contacted some people, says he's going to shoot it out with deputies. So, we're on the highest of alerts, and then we believe he's going to try to get to a vehicle, because at this point he has nothing else to do.
He's not giving signs of surrendering.
He's not. And again, 5 hours. So we put gas into the tent, which was pretty effective. In a house, it's even more effective in a tent, because he had barricaded this tent. He had made it where we couldn't just rush the tent, even though it probably wouldn't have been the safest thing to do it. But at this point, we know that he has a female with him that he will not let go. And then the next time we see him, he is coming out with her in front of him with what is definitely a knife to her throat area, upper body throat area, and she's struggling a bit. And you can tell, we released some of the drone footage. Obviously, it's dark, and so you can see the infrared, but you can make out pretty well that there's two people there, and he's obviously trying to keep her as a human shield, the quality individual that he is. But we cannot let a hostage go. We cannot let a hostage taker and a hostage leave the scene. We had two of our vehicles there. One was the Bearcat, which is our armored personnel carrier, and the other is what we call a Rook. It's more or less like a Bobcat-type vehicle, but it's ballistic and also has a platform in front of it, and it was in the area as well, because we had, again, 5 hours to try to figure out the best and safest way to get this thing resolved. And he makes it to the car, again, with her as his shield, with a knife to her throat, opens up the door, and you can see that even on the the infrared video that we released. And once he gets in the car, our Bearcat, the driver, does a good job of trying their best to stop that car, trying to lift the back of the wheels with tools that they have, what we call an improvised type tool, and they lift that up. At the same time,
it seemed like a pretty violent collision, really, of the the Rook into the back of the car. Is that a standard approach, or that's because I hadn't seen that before, and I don't know exactly what the Rook's capabilities are, but
I don't think it was a standard approach. I think it was a definitive approach.
Okay.
It was an approach in that we want to make sure that I get this vehicle off as soon as we can. And the Rook is not necessarily designed for that.
Sure.
We know it has capabilities. We know you can do just about anything with it. But things happen in a split second, and you have to make decisions. And credit to the deputy. He took the opportunity, was able to lift the car so it couldn't speed away.
Got it.
But we weren't sure how long he was going to keep that car up. And the one deputy notices they're still struggling inside the car, and the bad guy has a knife, and he
reports of a gun.
Stop it. Yeah, and reports of a gun, but at least a knife. We know for sure he has a knife to someone's throat. And we talk a lot about reasonableness. And is it reasonable for a reasonable person to believe that someone's life is in danger? And I think that was pretty clear that the hostage's life was in danger. And he took that shot and ended him.
And now, you had said in the press conference that you were not sure, but that she might have been sort of collateral damage hit somehow in that single shot. Was there evidence that she had been shot? You just weren't sure who had shot her? Was there a possible, what, like, because obviously that's heartbreaking to think that that might have happened. Even if it was the right decision, it's heartbreaking to think that the outcome that way, right?
Yeah, and we know that there's an injury. But we didn't know, we don't know still definitively whether it was a piece of the glass, because he shot through a glass window that had entered into the hostage, or if it was the round itself, when it went through the glass, it a piece of it broke off, or if it did go through the bad guy and then enter into her. It could also have been a knife wound from him. So we weren't sure at the time, and obviously the medical professionals are giving her a good treatment, and they can kind of give a better idea for what exactly the injury is. I just want to be open and honest with people and say this: at this point, we don't know. There's certainly a possibility that this could have taken place.
And so at this point, and I know FDLE is, you know, as is appropriate, is handling the investigation because it's an officer-involved shooting, which led to a death. But even so. So I assume the officer who shot is now on desk duty basically until the investigation proceeds. Is the rest of all of the SWAT team and the officers also had to be put on, or just the one person?
No, it's just the one that fired the shot.
Okay, because I was thinking about, I mean, it's a massive personnel impact if it's, you know, it was like 10 or 12 people that were there, it looked like. So, okay. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. We're going to take a real quick break here and get Candy in here with Traffic on the Fives.
Watching an accident in front of Longleaf Elementary. It's Longleaf and Community Drive. It's slow and go and stop and go right there. And then East Bay Boulevard, Navarre, closed south of Coppell as part of the drainage improvement project. That's through the end of the month. If you have traffic tips, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Just one quick follow-up. I think it's interesting. I learned something from you talking about this and also this morning that we talk with Mike Wood on Thursdays a lot about cop myths, you know, and one of the movie cop myths is, you know, hostage takers use the hostages in order to negotiate some kind of an exit from the situation, and then they go do whatever they're going to do. And what you're saying is that, no, we just don't let people leave with hostages because only bad things happen after that, right?
That's correct. Well, we're going to do everything we can to prevent a hostage. You know, I tell people, when I give presentations to various groups, they ask the question, what should we do if someone grabs me or attacks me or whatever? And I say, do not go. Fight with everything you have. Do not go with them, because if you're out in public or if you're in a parking lot or something like that, at least you're in your own place. If you get taken somewhere, they're going to take you to a secluded area, and it's unlikely things will go well at that point. So at that point you are fighting for your life, and so we take the same sort of stance. We will not let you leave with a hostage. So
and to give credit where it's due, we talk about how TV and movies get it wrong. They do also talk about don't go to secondary locations, and that's at least that part, they're exactly right about that. Some other things that have happened, we had two drug and weapons busts. One was inside a hotel room. That was kind of, I wouldn't have expected the drug house to be a hotel room, but, you know, maybe that's more normal than I think. And then there was another one that you served, I think was on New York Drive, was a warrant search that turned up a bunch of drugs and guns, right?
Yeah, our guys have really been doing a great job. We're wherever the drug dealers are, wherever the guns are, we're going to go to it, whether it's a hotel room or whether it is a home. And real quick, we posted these on our Facebook page, some pictures of some people in the hallway right next to our fancy "This Drug House is Closed" sign. But you can also see.
Nice. Is it one of those little post in the ground, the two-parter, like the realtors with the closed,
It's a big, much more sturdy. It's while we're doing the search warrant, we post this so the neighbors understand. that we're doing the Lord's work there and trying to get this stuff off the...
Whoever said the cops don't have a sense of humor doesn't know cops.
But if you look at it, I mean, just a brief rundown, we had possession of fentanyl, controlled substance, methamphetamine, cocaine, more fentanyl, trafficking in fentanyl, which is you can possess fentanyl, then you can possess with intent to distribute, and then the highest level is trafficking in fentanyl. What that means is you're doing the community wrong by all the drugs and stuff that you're trying to sell in our community. But the other one in New York was even more interesting, because when we get there, there were 21 people inside the residence. This is not a large house. I'm familiar with New York Drive. Not the biggest houses over there. 21 people inside.
So it's not an Airbnb on the
beach. It's not a. It's not a.
Okay,
a,
gotcha.
A bed and breakfast. It's not. It's not that at all. Although they probably
drug and breakfast.
Stuff like that.
Go
breakfast.
Ahead.
But again, with pictures, more pictures, and you can see the drugs. But on the right hand, upper right hand corner, you can also see the firearms. Total of 7 firearms, $12,000, oxycodone, 41 grams of fentanyl, all this stuff that I was talking about earlier. And again, the drug house was closed while we were there, and hopefully it's closed down for a while. Hopefully these people stay in jail long enough to where that community can recover from what the damage that they're doing to it.
And to me, the always, thank goodness, is they didn't fight back, and so we didn't have any cops get shot at. You know, that's I will take that as the good win. The one other one I was just going to ask you about is we had well, maybe there are two, but we had a Chemstrand Road chase that wound up in arrest. I believe you caught this guy, Winston Nobles. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't have all the information on that. That individual crashed. His car was pretty much crashed pretty good. If you saw the pictures, it wasn't ours. The Florida Highway Patrol.
Oh, there's an FHP. Okay.
We were initially chasing him, but I think we didn't have to pit him or anything.
He
crashed on his own accord.
And then you also had a woman who got shot in the leg over at Peachtree Commons, which has been in the news a couple times recently. So,
yeah, she claims that somehow she got shot in the foot, and her story ain't making sense. And
okay,
we ain't buying it.
Okay,
but, I mean, we buy that she got shot.
that's the truth.
The location's
okay.
Changed a couple times. The scenario has changed a couple times. The people that shot her changed a couple times, and it's just.
Who knows?
Who knows?
The one thing we know is she got shot in the foot.
Yeah.
Other than that,
right? So
who knows if it's even a crime? Right?
Says this lady claims to have been shot here, and then later she claims to be shot there, and then later she claims this happened, that happened. Again, we're not. We've been doing this for a long time. Don't play us for a fool.
I understand. Well, Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for the time. Thanks for serving our community, keeping us safe, and we'll see you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
751 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you haven't been to Home Outlet, you're missing out on the best value on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. You could be saving big on your kitchen remodel with in-stock cabinets starting at $78 per linear foot and in-stock countertops starting at just $63. And with the guaranteed lowest price, you can be sure you're getting the best value for your project dollar. Visit us in-store or shop online for in-store pickup at homeoutlet.com.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab rizza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand, nothing on my skin, that's my new play.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Join Escambia County tomorrow morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss their upcoming career fair at the Pensacola Bay Center. There are several career opportunities available within the Escambia County government. If you or someone you know is looking for a career, then tune in tomorrow morning at 10:30 to learn more about the Escambia County Career Fair.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time. And it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled?
Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi there.
Did that dog just say hi there?
Oh, yes.
Bruh!
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you.
Just last night, I was reminded of just how bad it had gotten and just how sick I had become.
I love you so much, Candy. Candy leans over to me off mic. She's like, but this is safe to play, right?
Yes,
freak me out.
No, yeah, you got to.
You've clearly never done that by mistake.
No, you got to find the right parts of the Violent Femmes songs that you can play. Because you cannot. There's a lot, yeah. Oh, man, I missed my line. I'm so mad. I missed my line. When Chip is in talking, we're talking about the, you know, the Bearcat and,
yeah,
and the Rook and
the Rook.
The Rook making this violent move to incapacitate the car, you know, and what I should have said, well, we call that the castle move. Oh, man.
That's great.
All day.
Oh, man.
All day. Nothing but this. I think Bobby's going to start featuring me on his dad joke segment. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
Daily protests continuing in New York over the death of a homeless man that was choked out by a former Marine. The man reportedly suffered from mental health issues, was acting erratically and threatening subway riders when he was put in a chokehold. He ended up dying. Protesters want charges brought against the former Marine. Disney apparently getting rid of reservation requirements at its park here in Florida.
Guests will no longer need a reservation for date-based tickets at Disney World in Orlando thanks to their own feedback. That'll take effect at the beginning of 2024. Visitors will only need to buy a ticket for a specific date, but won't need to make reservations for any of the specific parks. That's in addition to the new rule that annual pass holders can visit any of Disney's Orlando theme parks after 2 p.m. without a reservation. I'm Rick Hochul.
And a bail hearing being held Thursday for the Massachusetts Air National Guardsman accused of leaking secret military documents. Jack Teixeira will be in federal court as a judge decides whether he can be released on house arrest while he's awaiting trial. He's been held without bail since he was arrested last month.
All right. Thanks so much, David. I'm getting texts in from friends who are like, yeah, but in a Dirty Harry voice. Checkmate, punk. Or I guess that's Batman a little bit more. I don't know. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Have a talking like this contest. as we take a look around again, very slow and go and stop and go. This is in front of Longleaf Elementary. There was a crash, it looks like, at the intersection of Longleaf and Community Drive. Looks like it's tying into, is that Mobile Highway? I think it is. So caution there. That's slowing things down a little bit. There's a few different slowdowns that you want to watch out for. Here's another one, 29 and 9.5 mile road in Pensacola. It says it's clear, but it is tying things up a little bit. Gulf Beach Highway and Sereno Road. Certainly watch for emergency vehicles on scene for all these places. And Gulf Breeze Parkway and Tiger Park Lane as well. It is slow around all of the schools, of course, because they're doing the school drop-off. So it's very tied up in that area near Longleaf for that reason. Caution wherever you are, and certainly if you have tips, traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I learned a word yesterday doing show prep. You ready? Learned a word. It's a safe word.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Look at me like I'm going to get in trouble. Pretendian.
A pretendian?
Yeah, do you know what that is?
Somebody that acts like there's something that they're
they
not.
They pretend to be an Indian.
Oh,
like
my sister.
They claim Indian heritage, but they don't really have it. So there is this woman, and I just thought
is it Elizabeth Warren?
It's not Elizabeth Warren this time. No, Rabbit is not involved in this story. Other people refer to her otherwise, but I always think she looks like Rabbit and her glasses and everything. Rabbit from Winnie the Pooh. That's what she looks like to me. So anyway, and she's kind of got that nudgy kind of, you know, demeanor. Anyway, California college instructor accused of falsely claiming Native American ancestry is now apologizing, admitting she's white. And apparently she says, so what happened is she was getting criticized from the Native Appropriations Forum, which I guess is a website or something, anywhere, where she was getting accused of not being, and she said that she was. So her friend went in to try to help prove her case, did a bunch of ancestry research, and her friend is actually the one that proved, oh, no, you ain't. So her friend is the one that wound up making her have to go publicly and say, yes, I'm so sorry, I'm totally appalled. I had to come out as white and resign. This is, she's being called for resigning her post or whatever, but a pretendian.
A Pretendian.
A Pretendian. I had never heard of that
before.
I have
a new letter to write.
Yeah, that's exactly it. All right, we'll be back in a few minutes. Stick around.